guys are ridiculous. These guys are ridiculous.
Now, how about them damn Celtics?
And we are back with another episode of How About Them Celtics Seminar here recording on Tuesday, July 16th.
We did one recording.
I wish I was dead.
The audio was wrong, and so we're doing it again because we have to. We're talking about the Celtics Summer League win over the Los Angeles Lakers. 88-74 was the final score. They are now 1-1 in Summer League. We are here in Vegas for a couple more days, a couple more in-person pods. Probably going to be easier when we don't do them in person, even though it looks pretty cool. But we can start with the Celtics, and we can do Bronny James later. We'll talk a little bit about Jalen as well. But starting off with the fewest minutes, because we're going to do grades, Jalen House got his first minutes of Summer League action. Eddie House's son, obviously 2008 Celtics champ, in 3 minutes, 14 seconds, 0 points, zero rebounds, zero assists. One block, though, for the smallest guy on the court, which is always a good thing. A couple of fouls as well. I didn't get a chance, unfortunately, to watch Jalen House's minutes as closely because I was dealing with the other Jalen, who was doing media because the Celtics Summer League game against Lakers. So I was chatting with him, was writing up that interview. But I know you got to watch Jalen House. I didn't get to watch, so you can handle the grade here.
So Jalen House played, like, not a lot of time. Jalen House, all of the time that he was out there, played hard. And when we did the preview for Jalen House, we watched college highlights, and one thing that we noticed was, wow, he's really small. But despite that, he plays like a pit bull. Like, every Lakers player that Jalen House defended, they had to deal with him being all over them at all times. He was fiery the entire time he was on the floor. He got a technical foul in the very limited time that he played.
What did he get a tech for?
I don't know. I think they whistled him.
They were giving up bogus texts all day.
They called him for something, and then Eddie House was pissed on the side. Eddie House, who had all the drip today. But Jalen, despite no stats except the block, made a couple of really nice passes when he was actually the initiator, and they just kind of led to guys getting fouled, so he didn't get assists. But he did set his teammates up pretty well to succeed, which was not bad. I would give him a B-.
We'll take a B- for Jalen House. Jalen House, by the way, 6'1", yet two-time Mountain West all-defensive team. So clearly is a good defensive player. Also, I read an article on him. Apparently, he was like the enemy of the entire conference. Like, they just all hated him because of how fiery he was, how, you know, competitive he was. Every fan base hated Jalen House, which is a very good thing if you're entering the league, especially if you're small. So shout out Jalen House. Next few minutes on the team, Killian Tilly, 12 minutes, 20 seconds, 8 points, two rebounds, two assists, two blocks. He shot 3 of 8 from the field, 2 of 5 from three. Three personal fouls, not great. The blocks were fun. He felt like he was a lot more impactful in this game against the Lakers than he was against the Heat. Made his threes, cooled off from three then a little bit, but you kind of felt Killian Tilly more in this one. And in the first game, it just kind of felt like he was out there. So I'll go like B- for Killian Tilly. It felt like he was really good to start, then you didn't notice him as much, but he hit the threes, had a couple nice blocks. You knew he was out there, made an impact. And then he was just kind of out there again.
Yeah, he definitely had a more impactful game than he did on Saturday against Miami. And Saturday against Miami was kind of like, what do we have here? Oh, we don't know. He doesn't know. He wasn't making his threes. He did have a block against Miami or two. In this game, he seemed like he was more comfortable in his role. And it makes sense that he would have maybe been a little uncomfortable on Saturday because it was the first time he played professionally in like 2 years because he'd been injured. So I'm sure there was a little bit of growing pains there. This game, he actually made threes, which was something that was kind of part of the package when we did the review heading into Summer League. We got to see it. Form looked pretty good. He was comfortable spacing the floor. He was a big body on defense. He did get some boards. He blocked some shots. And he was somebody who was protecting the paint, which was very good. Like, there were times when I was watching this game and I was like, huh, maybe not, but if they did sign him to like one of the two ways or something, like, you could see the vision of like, this guy's tall, he shoots threes, he could be a pick and pop man off the bench and add to the repertoire of different big guys the Celtics have, because you have like big bruisers like Nemi and Cornette, but you don't necessarily have a replacement stretch big guy. Maybe you think it's Tillman and you hope that he can develop that, but maybe not yet.
I like Tillman. I'll go with Tillman. I'll put my chips down on Tillman. Shout out Vegas. Next up, Jamias Ramsey played 13-19 in this game. 13 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 4-6 in the field, 3-4 from deep. Made both of his free throws. 5 turnovers, 3 personal fouls. Really, really, really bad start to the game for Jamyus Ramsey. He got in the game, immediately just looked like he was pressing so hard. It looked like he was having, like, it looks like another team called him and said, "Hey, yo, Jamyus, we're looking at you." And he said, "Okay, bet. I got to go show out in this one." He was just driving to the hoop. He was playing reckless. He was turning the ball over. He just didn't look like he was playing within the flow of what the Celtics were doing. And then he settled down. He hit his threes, which he's just magically good at now for a guy who didn't shoot threes or wasn't good at them in college and to start his career. He's knocked down now. He looks like a guy, like you mentioned with Tilly, like Jamyus Ramsey would be my leader in the clubhouse for if the Celtics were to hand one of these random guys on the team who aren't like affiliated a two-way spot. I'd go to Jamyus Ramsey now. Right now, I'd go B plus, probably B plus for Jamyus Ramsey in this one.
I would say that's pretty fair. Between that, yeah, B and B plus, because you mentioned it. His first stretch of the game was literally like three straight turnovers, and then they took him out. But he finished the night as the team's second leading scorer. He was efficient. He wasn't somebody who was chucking shots to get there. He made threes, like you said, when he goes to the basket. He's an exciting watch. He can guard. He's not somebody you feel like is a liability out there. It's probably why he plays over Jalen House, just solely because of his size, that he's a bigger guard. He's stronger. And I really felt like, once again, that I was getting a little bit of flashbacks to the guy that killed Maine back in April in the G League final. Like, Jamyus Ramsey could be someone. It wouldn't be shocking if they signed him to the last two-way. He's certainly not any kind of bum. He's not the kind of guy that fans should discard watching the summer league. Just, oh, they just signed him to fill the roster. Maybe, but like, he has shown, if not the Celtics, somebody should pick him up, because he has both sides of the ball he plays. He has a versatile offensive game with a three-point shot that has come along, like you mentioned. He has value he's ready to bring to some team, if not the Celtics.
Yeah, if I had to guess, I think Jamyus Ramsey is in at least a two-way deal somewhere next season. I don't know if it'll be in Boston, but it'll be somewhere, so I'll go B-plus there. Ron Harper Jr., 13 minutes, 49 seconds, 5 points, 2 assists, 2 of 6 from the field, 1 of 3 from deep. I am not a Ron Harper guy. I don't think he's been great so far. He just kind of looks like he's out there to me. The three-point form looks okay, but it's not great. He's just kind of like, it just feels like he's floating around, and the impact isn't necessarily there as much as you would want for a guy who's been in the G League for a couple of years. I'd probably go like C, maybe C minus, just because of how lackluster I feel like he's been.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's unfair. I don't think he was a net negative today. I don't know what the plus minus is, but I don't think he's a net negative. I don't think when I was watching this game that I
minus 11
felt like he was hurting the team. But at the same time, I don't feel as if he was contributing. He wasn't really pushing them forward. He was just kind of a net neutral to me, even though he was a team low minus 11. It's not necessarily what you want to see. I feel like he made a big three in this game. He had 5 points. One of those shots that went in was a three. The Lakers had pushes in this game where they were trying to come back from the dead, and he stomped on one of them. So I'd say C plus.
Okay. C plus?
What did I say before?
I don't remember.
He's like average.
Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. I remember my dad taking me to Fenway Park as a kid, getting to watch David Ortiz and Dustin Pedroia sitting in the Green Monster and taking in all there is to love about the iconic ballpark. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. Taking a look at my Game Time app right now, I see plenty of great deals to watch my favorite sports teams and my favorite tickets to Noah Kahan. You guys know that's my favorite artist. I even used it while in Las Vegas for Summer League to get tickets to a women's basketball game. Some of my favorite features in the Game Time app include letting me see what the price is going to be with fees included. It makes so much easier to take a look and see what the actual price I'm going to pay is. Also, you get to see exactly where you are sitting. It's a great way to know exactly the experience you're going to get. I also love the fact that you can get great last-minute deals. Save up to 60% off buying last-minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, or anything else. Take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CLNS for $20 off. Sure. Okay. C plus. Sam likes Ron Harper. Anton Watson next up, 23-17 in this one, 7 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 of 3 from the field, 0 of 1 from deep, even though, like Sam mentioned in the recording, you'll never hear, was a long two. 2 turnovers, 1 foul, was -4, but he just feels like he does everything well. Like, Anton Watson is out there. In our other recording that will not see the light of day, I compared him to Taj Gibson in the sense that he just feels like he could have a very long career of being a solid backup center in the NBA, which is a good thing. Celtics want to have guys who will be able to provide real minutes. Not saying that he's going to do that immediately, but, like, you can see the outline for Anton Watson doing that. The one thing I really was impressed with that I forgot to mention last time was it did actively feel like he was hustling for every single rebound. Like, he was going after the boards. So I'd go, like, a B, solid B for Anton Watson. B for being out there.
I texted job. All you guys during the game, and I was like, I don't know if anybody else is feeling this, but I really like what he's doing. It feels like he's just always finding a way to get himself in the right place or make the right play. In this game and throughout summer league, he has gotten baskets from cutting, from crashing the offensive glass, and getting the ball in easy positions to score. He's somebody, if he ever plays with the real Celtics, is going to have a very similar role. And if these are the things he's excelling at, it's showing exactly why Brad Stevens drafted him. Brad called both Watson and Shireman winning players at the introductory press conferences. It's clear that he is a winning player. He's making the right plays. He makes good decisions when he has the ball. He made a couple passes tonight that I thought were great passes, great decisions on quick touches. And overall, even the three-point shot, though it hasn't fallen yet, technically he did make the corner shot that was a 2 at a big point in the game. It looks good. The form's there. Maybe you feel like it's a little slow. When we did the draft preview, you didn't love what it looked like. But the numbers last year say he can do it. He was at just under 42%. I'd like to see him start making him at this level a little bit more. But I liked him. I thought he played good defense. He stayed in front of some of these perimeter guys. He was switched on to Bronny, got him to throw up a brick, and he had a few different possessions where he was not afraid to guard on the perimeter.
Shout out to Anton Watson. Solid B, maybe B-plus game in this one. Next one, in terms of minutes in this game, was Namish Keita, who was probably the best player on the floor. 25-01 for him, 22 points, 8 rebounds, 3 blocks, 7-10 from the field. 4 fouls, 4 offensive rebounds, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. Just a good all-around game for the big fella. We had a debate last time. We don't have to recreate it because it's dead now. But I said A, and then you convinced me to do A plus because I think he was the best player on the floor. My point was, doesn't feel like he was as good as Jaden Springer in the first one. But he was the best player for the Celtics, so we will go A plus. Jaden Springer, by the way, who is hurt, not really playing in summer league, didn't play in this game. Doesn't sound like, based on DJ McClay's comments, that he's going to play. In summer league for the rest of the time. But Namish Keita did everything that was sort of underwhelming in the first one, a lot better in this one. 3 blocks, that was the biggest thing for me. Felt like he was much better at rotating over. Like, in the Heat game, it felt like Jaime Jaquez would get past Baylor Shireman or Isaiah Stevens would get past one of the guards, and they'd just have a free lane to the rim, and Namish Keita was almost afraid to rotate over and get some of those blocks. But in this game, he did it. Ended with 3 blocks. Felt like he was a much better rim protector. Was super aggressive, obviously. Went to the line 9 times. They had to foul him a little bit. So, shout out to Namish Keita. We'll give him the A-plus, even though I said A at the start, which maybe hand up my bad. But best player on the Celtics in this game, Namish Keita.
He dominated right from the jump. He's bigger than everybody on the Lakers. He was stronger than everybody. He was rolling. He was doing a great job, not only rolling, but just kind of setting himself up, like we kind of mentioned with Watson, in the right place for guys to dump off and find him. He had a game-high 20 points, you mentioned it. He got to the free throw line 9 times because the Lakers had no answer for him. And he played good defense. He had 3 blocks. He was a force on the glass. He was efficient. He wasn't getting all of his rebounds because he was missing easy shots and then putting them back up and missing again and then putting them back up, kind of like we saw on Saturday. It felt far different from Saturday. Saturday we came on here and we were kind of like disappointed. We were going into summer league expecting to see what we saw today, and we didn't quite see it on Saturday. It's good that we got a little bit of an upgrade from Nimi in game 2 of the summer league. A plus.
You need it. You need it if he's going to fill in for KP in the start of next season too. And this was a game where you look at him and you're like, okay, I feel confident in that, kind of doing that and giving those minutes. So he talked about it after the game too. I'm sure there's quotes and articles about it, but basically said it's a good motivator, all that good stuff. So shout out Nimi, great game. Next up, in terms of minutes, Drew Peterson, 25-54, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 4-10 from the field, 4-8 from 3, so just over 2 from 2-point range. 3 turnovers, 1 foul in this game. Better for Drew than the first game. Wasn't like amazing. He made his threes though, which was a big thing that he didn't do in the first game. I don't know if you felt the defensive pressure that you felt in the Heat game in this one. I'd say a B, solid B, maybe B. I think B is the fair game for Drew. It was just a good, solid game for Drew Peterson. Made an impact, had 3 assists, 5 rebounds, 12 assists, sort of filled up the stat sheet across the board. Made his threes as well, which is what you want to see from a guy like him, who that's probably his defining career. So I think B is a pretty fair grade for Drew Peterson. He was also third on the team in scoring behind Amish Kidd and Jamias Ramsey. So good job.
Who are you talking about?
Drew Peterson.
This is 3 a.m. talking.
Drew Peterson.
Drew Peterson, I thought he was maybe the second best guy today. Yeah, I think I'm saying that right.
Okay.
I'm getting takes mixed up now, doing this show twice. He had 12 points in this game, the third highest behind Kaden Ramsey. He made 4 threes. 2 of the threes came in the fourth quarter. They came at big moments. The Lakers tried to make a push back in this game. I mean, the Celtics dominated this game, but then they didn't dominate this game, and they kind of let them creep back into it.
Lakers made a push.
He stepped on the runs. He made a couple big ones. He was somebody that kind of took on some extra responsibility in Springer's absence, where they were asking him to handle the ball a little bit more than he probably would. They tried to have him do it against Miami, but really today you saw him try and be the one to bring the ball up and initiate. And he did an okay job. He had 3 assists. He hit the glass for 5 rebounds. And it's nice to see the three ball going. Most importantly, first and foremost, I mean, he told you after the game, he's looking to get stronger and knock down threes and then do all the other stuff too. Going into the season, he's looking to improve in those areas. And after a rough, rough start to Summer League, 0-4 from three, you see 4 of 8 today. That's the direction you want to see Drew Peterson go in. I think we give him B plus, A minus.
I think that's good. I think that's fair. I think bump up my B to a B plus is a good grade for him. And he did say that he has gained 13 pounds since he joined the Celtics, which is a very good thing for Skeletor over there. Shout out Drew Peterson. Good job. He's good. He's getting up there. Jordan Walsh and Baylor Shireman tied for minutes at 26-34. We'll start with Jay Walsh. 9 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 4-12 from the field, 0-5 from three. Still can't hit anything from there. 1 of 3 from the line isn't great either. But him and Shireman did tie for a team high plus 24. This is just no fouls either for Jordan Walsh. Just so infinitely better than the disastrous performance he had against the Heat. He talked to practice today, said that game was terrible. Never want to think about that game again. Was smiling. He obviously knew it was bad. Talked about how he tried too much to play like he needed to get his shots up. Like he said, he should have played like Tatum was there. He should have played like he was a role player. He should have played like he would in Boston. That Sam Cassell told him, like, you're not going to be judged or defined by your shot making. You're going to be judged by your defense. And that's what you need to focus on. And in this game against Lakers, you see him did do that. 3 steals, 1 block, was obviously hustling. Jumping up from the F that I gave him, I think rightfully so, in the Heat game, and I think he'd agree. I'll go with the B in this game. Obviously, you want to see him be a bit more efficient. Maybe you bump it up to a B plus because he did do everything else except make his shots, but just not enough can be said about how infinitely better this was of an outing for Jay Walsh, even though he still didn't score as much as you probably want to see him.
This was a big boy comeback, big boy bounce back from Jordan Walsh. Jordan Walsh didn't shoot three as well again in this game. He had an opportunity to do the same exact thing that he did on Saturday and kind of get in his head and mope and, you know, show bad body language and foul out of frustration, like you mentioned. That didn't happen today. He did the other stuff. You mentioned that he brought it on defense. He absolutely did. He hit the glass. He also found other ways to get buckets. He went inside the three-point line. He was 0-5 from three. He finished the night, what was he, 4 of 12? So he was 4 of 7 12, from inside the arc. And he scored in different ways, whether it was, you know, being the beneficiary of a good cut, good pass, and dunking, making a tough drive, finishing a tough layup, or using his strength, using his body to bump the defender off and hitting a fadeaway. We saw him score in a couple different ways inside, so that was a good thing to see because all of those things are things he could do in a smaller role. Whether, you know, he's really going to be taking fadeaways is another thing, but the cutting and the tough drives could happen. And I'm happy to see that he was more engaged overall because that's just not how he's going to go going forward. You have to be able to shake off rough days. You're going to miss shots. It's going to happen. And, you know, I think B is fair. And you want to talk about shaking off missing shots. Look no further.
Missed me button. Missed plenty that he did have to shake off. Baylor Shireman, 26-34 as well. 3 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. 1 of 7 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3. Him and Jay Walsh combined to shoot 1 of 11. Not great. Three offensive rebounds, though, and again, tied with Jordan Walsh for a team high plus 24, and only had two fouls in this game. He fouled a lot in the last one. Just despite the fact that he did not shoot the ball well, this was another good game, in my opinion, from Baylor Shireman. His passing was awesome again. The way he sees passes is like, it comes out of nowhere. Like, he'll just have the ball, he'll be dribbling, or he'll get it, and then he just makes a pass, and it's like, oh, I didn't even know that was there, and he'll get it there. He'll find Nimi on a lob. He'll do stuff like that. He is seeking out offensive rebounds like a heat-seeking missile. There's a reason he was the best rebounding guard in the country. And then DJ McClay told us after the game that he basically called out Baylor Shireman for playing shit defense in the first game. Basically said, like, that was unacceptable. DJ said it was a team-wide thing, but specifically went to Baylor and said wasn't good enough on Jaime Jaquez. And then they gave him the Dalton Connect matchup, and he did a good job. Dalton Connect had 19 points, but he shot 7 of 21 from the field. Did not have an efficient night, and a lot of that was Baylor Shireman playing good, solid defense. And I asked DJ specifically, like, has the idea to put Baylor Shireman on Jaime Jaquez as an NBA player, on Dalton Connect, the Lakers' top prospect, like, is that something you guys are pushing him to do? And he was like, yeah, kind of. We want him to do that, and we want him to get better at that. So it's partly us, but it's mainly just Baylor saying, hey, I want this challenge. I want to get better in this area. So, like, Baylor Shireman is talking to them and initiating the fact, I want to guard the best player, which is something you want from a rookie. So I'll go B for Baylor Shireman. I think him and Jordan Walsh, despite not being efficient, like, if they were both efficient, this would be like A-plus almost games. Like, they would be one of the best guys on the court, but they weren't quite efficient. So I'll go B-plus instead for both of them. And I think that's pretty fair assessment.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was writing a recap, and I was like, really would just like to, like, give them their own section, because you can repeat everything for both of them. Shireman had probably better vision than Jordan Walsh. I mean, he just overall does. But in this game, yeah, like, he did a really good job of setting up his teammates. There were some passes he made, like you mentioned, that were like, oh, my gosh. I mean, he think he had a lob to Nimi that, like, made you kind of like go, whoa.
It came out of nowhere. Thought he was going to hit a floater or take a midi, and he threw it up.
Made the right decision. Like, Shireman made his first three, didn't make a shot for the rest of the night, yet he still brought it. You mentioned the defense. He also brought the hustle. He literally, like, killed some guy diving into the crowd, just dove right into him, knocked his seat over, and gets right up, gets back in the game, comes down, and just plays, you know, the rest of it as the Lakers fail to come back. I was pretty impressed with Shireman. I tweeted about it. His mentality, carrying the water regardless of the shots falling, is a big thing to see, and it shows his character. It's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows. You're going to have games like this, like we said with Walsh, and the disappointment that came last game with us being like, wow, Walsh really didn't handle it well. You almost get the opposite. Like, it's never good to have a, like, 1-of-7 night, but early on in a summer league game that doesn't necessarily mean anything that you also won, it's not awful to get a sample of, oh, he didn't play well, and he didn't shoot well, and he still brought it for the rest of the game. Good game from Shireman. I would say B is fair.
Definitely. Last guy, JD Davison, 29-58 in this one. 9 points, 3 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 3-9 from the field, 2-5 from three. Started off 1-of-1, and I tweeted out he hasn't missed a three in summer league. Then he proceeded to shoot 1-of-4 from there. My bad. Sorry. 1-of-2 from the free throw line. 4 turnovers, plus 14 on the. Was a lot better in the Heat game. Felt like he was a little sloppy with the ball in this one. They were really, really hounding JD Davison. Bronny was doing it, and they were throughout the game really getting on him. I'd say, like, B minus, maybe B because of those 7 assists, but it really, I don't want to say he took a step back, but it really felt like he was a lot more impactful in that Heat game, and he just wasn't as there tonight. But the shot still looks good, and that's a huge, huge development.
That's probably the most important development. He still turned the ball over 4 times. And the thing, like, about JD that we've always talked about anytime we have the chance to, especially me, is just, like, dude loves to give the ball away. Not really. That's kind of mean. But, like, he always seems to rack up the turnovers even with the assists. Like, he does showcase a willingness to distribute the ball. He makes good passes. He makes good finds. But he also finds the guys in the wrong color jerseys sometimes, too. And then the shooting is a great thing. Even tonight, right? Like, you tweeted it out, and then you felt bad because he went 1-of-4. Still shot 2-of-5. 40% is not bad for JD Davison. Overall, he could be better. It's tough to follow the game that he had on Saturday, despite it not being the A-plus game. It was still a very solid game, and it was an efficient game. I would say B is fair. He still had to take on a little bit more responsibility without Springer in there today. And he did a pretty decent job out of it. The team still got the win. And he made some good shots.
Missed the mute button again. Yes. Yes, I agree. No Tristan and Aruna still is a little bit weird.
I don't really know what's happening with that,
but we can talk about that another day because it's late and we got to get this up for five. It might be late for five, but we will talk about Jalen quickly. Jalen Brown was in the house for Summer League Celtics Lakers action. Oh, we didn't talk about Bronny. We don't. You guys hear enough about Bronny.
Bronny sucks.
Our Uber driver thought so too, or Lyft driver. Jalen Brown was in the house with injuries and Noah.
Jalen Brown is that Bronny's an NBA player.
How do you say Gondrzejczyk's name? I get it wrong. Kizre?
I think it's
Kaiser. Kaiser Gondrzejczyk.
A plus for Jalen.
Gondrzejczyk? You're a piece of shit. Kaiser Gondrzejczyk? Gondrzejczyk? Okay. Apologies for mispronouncing your name, but the nice woman he took to the ESPYs, Jalen Brown. And you too. Thanks, Noah. Handshake. Appreciate you. And Andrew Reese pulled up to the Celtics Lakers summer game. If you want to see a video, everyone took Noah's. So you can go look at that on Twitter. She's fist pumping over there. But Jalen Brown was kind enough to talk to the media afterwards, which he did not have to do, but he did anyways. We'll hit some of the talking points. A lot of the I don't want to say filler stuff. A lot of the stuff in between was having a good summer, excited, still not over the fact that we won a title. It's awesome, but we want to get back to winning. So we're going to focus and relock in on that end as well. Said he texted Al. He's texted the guys about getting in the gym, stuff like that. Said he's going to go to Peyton's wedding this summer. So that's another thing. Said he was excited to run it back. Shout out Sean McVay, run it back. But I would say the biggest thing he talked about was the Team USA snub. And basically said, like, not everything's got to be public. Me and Derek are fine. I reached out to Derek. I congratulated him, basically nipping it in the bud. And also said that Bobby Manning asked him, you know, do you think Nike had anything to do with it? And he goes, for sure. More on that at a later date, basically. But some fun stuff coming out of Jalen in this one. And he was very nice to chat with us.
The two of us are just both anti-Nike for probably different reasons. Unless he hates
Why
the
are
uniforms,
you
too.
Anti-Nike? Oh.
They ruined the uniform. They just came in and said, money, 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 money. I'm going to release a terrible jersey every single season. Well, it's good to hear that Jalen and Derek White don't hate each other. Because I think we all
Shocker.
Thought that they hated each other for the last
Everyone game. Thought so.
I thought that they were going to have to blow up the team. Truly. I mean, what are you going to do if those two guys don't like each other? They definitely don't have problems. This team is a team that gets along extremely well. It's a group of guys that seems to be, one, tight-knit, two, all just great guys in their own respect. Like, I don't think this is the group you have to worry about. Oh, Jalen's mad at Derek White because he's playing on Team USA. Like, maybe Jalen's bitter, but probably not towards Derek White. He's clearly bitter towards Nike. He even kind of said that. He's like, I'm just not going to say
kinda.
Anymore.
He did say, yeah, fuck those guys, but I'm not going to say anything at the moment. But yeah, Jalen had some nice comments. You can read my article on it for Celtics Blog if you want to see the full thing. I think we can wrap there. Anything else we missed that we could have talked about? I don't think so. We saw Adem Bona, our guy, throw down a cool dunk and then get posterized by Donovan Clingan. Reed Shepard's the best rookie at Summer League. And I think we saw Svi. We saw Svi Mykhailiuk walking around at the casino by himself, and we said, what's up? Or I said, what's up?
I feel bad because this is supposed to be a full pod, but we don't have full pod time or
Sorry.
Energy.
Yeah, it happens. You'll get more full pods, but you get the in-person pods now. But appreciate y'all for tuning in. Make sure to leave a like, subscribe, and all that same. Take it out.
Thank you very much for listening and watching. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Hit the bell so you don't miss any of our daily uploads. Coming at you with content every morning at 5 a.m., whether it's full pods, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. Sorry, but this is more of a game recap, which comes after games. And then other videos in between to keep you busy all summer and also during the season. Hit the bell, leave a like, you won't regret it. Follow us on Spotify and Apple too. All of our pods and game recaps will go to your feed if you do so. Leave a 5-star review, we'd appreciate that. Email us, hbtcpod@gmail.com is the address. We go through your emails, usually during pods. Maybe we'll do a mailbag if there's enough tomorrow. We'll find a way to get them in. hbtcpod@gmail.com. Socials are at How About Them C's for Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Facebook's the name of the pod. Streams are there. They're on YouTube. They're on Twitter. Jack's Twitter's at JacksMoneNBA. Mine's at Sam LaFrance. And it's for us. Bye.
Tacos. Taco. Taco's having some fun here.